This is Pacifica National Board Governance Committee meeting. My name is Saurabh Randhawa. I'm the chairman of this committee. Our vice chair is Lydia Brazan, and our secretary is R. Paul Martin. The meeting is supposed to last approximately an hour and a half, and if everything goes well. And R. Paul, would you be kind enough to take the roll call, see if we have quorum? R. Paul?
Did we lose R. Paul?
He said that there's a thunderstorm there. We might lose him.
Hello, I'm back.
Okay.
Hello, R. Paul. Would you be kind enough to take a roll?
Oh, we're ready?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, hold on 1 second here. And I need a plate. And okay. All right, Grace Aaron.
Here.
Lydia Brazan, Jim Brown. Adrian Hunt. Joseph K. Vladrick Hilgauer.
Here.
Tracy Larkin. Bob Lederer.
Here.
Barb Randhawa.
Here.
Buffin. Wendy Schroll.
Here.
Deb Shafto.
Here.
Phoebe Ann Sorgan.
Here.
Woods.
Here.
Okay, we have a quorum.
All right, our meeting is this governance committee meeting, and it's supposed to last about an hour and a half. Our agenda is first is a roll call, and R. Paul has taken the roll call, and we have a quorum. Next is approval of is there any motion to approve the agenda as it is? I added another item. I sent an email, and that was regarding our election committee. Bylaws amendment, and we want to be update on that. So I try to put it between item 4 and 5 sometimes, someplace in there. So that would take about 15 minutes. And I talked to our corporate counsel, Dan Siegel. He's out of town, and he forgot to send us the confidentiality agreement status. And he was supposed to do some minor changes in it and forward it to the governance committee members. So he said that if he gets back in town here in time or during our meeting, that he will try to send it via email to us. So instead of discussing, we'll just bypass that item 3 on the agenda and just go straight to our working group reports, and we'll go first to the Code of Conduct Working Group report. That's Grace Aaron. Grace, do you have something to report on that?
We did make some progress in one meeting. We intended to meet again, but we were not able to. We did set a meeting. Remember, Sarv, you and I were, but there was no quorum of the group. So, and I have not been able to convene it before this meeting. So. We did make some progress. I think, Deb, you remember what the progress was probably better than I do. Deb, are you there?
Sorry, I was muted.
Yeah.
We made some progress, and there was we went over the, actually, Bob was taking notes for it. Bob Lederer?
Yeah.
Is he on the call?
Is he here?
So, R. Paul, we can take a roll call again. Go ahead, R. Paul, take a roll call again.
Okay, Grace Aaron.
Here.
Lydia Brazan, Jim Brown, Adrienne Jamont, Joseph K., Vladrick Hilgauer.
Present.
Tracy Larkin, Bob Lederer.
We were here a minute ago.
He's on the other call.
R. Paul
on the other number.
Here. Sarv Randhawa.
Here.
Thomas Ruffin, Wendy Schroll.
Here.
Deb Shafto.
Here.
Phoebe Ann Sorgan.
Here.
Stan Woods.
Okay. somebody call out a number, see if there's somebody there?
Four, five.
Or Stan or Bob?
That's seven.
I'll try to reach Bob.
Thank you.
The roll calls are extremely exciting. People tune in just to hear the roll call. Well, maybe we should talk about the people who don't show up for the meetings, and that will get them to come to them, because they'll say, if you don't show up, we'll talk about you.
Did Bob Litterer get back on this call?
No, I don't know what happened.
I have.
All right, well, this is Bajra. I'm going to hang up and call him because I can't get a cell phone signal in my apartment, so I'll be right back.
I had a time getting the code in. Cause it,
all right. I'll see you guys in a minute.
Yeah, sorry, folks. We just got word minutes ago that former PNB member Michael Tarif Warren and his wife were beaten and arrested by the
by who?
The Brooklyn police for speaking out against the beating of a young man on the street. So they're being held on obstruction of governmental administration. So I'm trying to get the word out over email. So,
oh, my God.
I may not be able to really stay on this call, but in fact, I'm getting a call now. Hold on. I'll be right back.
Yes.
So I'm back.
Good.
Well, Paul, you want to take it over here, see if you have people? Call them.
Okay. Let's get into this one. Okay. Grace Aaron.
Here.
Leah Bazan, Jim Brown, Adrienne Jamot, Joseph Kay, Nadra Kilgour.
Present.
Tracy Larkins, Bob Litterer.
Here.
R. Paul Martin here. Zara Vrandawa.
Here.
Thomas Ruffin. Quentin Schroll.
Here.
Deb Shafto.
Here.
Phoebe Ann Sorgan.
Here.
Stan Woods. Okay, that's eight. One, two, three, four, six, seven, eight. We got
Thank
eight.
You. Thank you very much. Well, anyway, so our third item on the agenda, confidentiality agreement. Our attorney, he is out of town, and if he comes back, he will give us a revised copy, and he will email to us. So we can't do anything with that item. We can go on to item four, and there we have a code of conduct and bylaws working group, and I sent another note to everybody that I would like to have some information on elections committee bylaws changes, and they were supposed to be coordinated with our governance committee. And I think Bob Litterer, he's also on the elections committee, and if he has anything to say about that, I'd like to have him do it now for maybe 10, 15 minutes before he leaves this call. Bob, if that's amenable to everyone. Bob, could you do
yeah.
that?
Okay, I can do that. All right, well, for several months now, really for it's going on two or three years, different people around Pacifica have been talking about solving some serious problems with the timing of our LSB elections. The main two issues that I think are pretty broadly agreed on is, one is that the season in which they occur, that is where the voting happens in October and November, is a serious conflict on several of the years, not every year, but some years, with the governmental elections mm-hmm. that compete for mailing, you know, access to the emails and also the attention of our listeners. That's one issue. And another issue that's perhaps more major is that the fact that elections are held two out of every 3 years puts a tremendous strain on Pacifica, not only, well, most dramatically the financial strain, I believe it. I don't remember the current figure, but it's somewhere upwards of $150,000 to conduct one of these national elections. And that's, in a time when funds are getting tighter, that's really, really difficult to sustain two out of every 3 years. And plus just the siphoning off of a lot of people's attention and energies into elections. So for all of those reasons, the Elections Committee worked very hard to come up with a viable calendar within each year, and then a proposal to change the terms from three-year terms to four-year terms, so the elections would be only every 2 years in odd-numbered years. So, and this is something that would have to be voted on by the entire membership because it involves extending terms of sitting board members. So if it passes on the ballot, well, first of all, if it passes the PNB and then three out of the five assemblies of delegates, which is the other name for LSB members when they're acting in their capacity as voting on bylaws amendments, if it passes that assemblage of people, of boards, then it has to go to the on the ballot this fall, simultaneous with the elections. And if it passes, then everyone who's elected this fall will actually win a four-year term instead of a three-year term. But the people who currently have three-year terms will just serve out their three-year term, and then, you know, in the election after that, then they could be eligible to run for a four-year term. Oh, and that's one of the issues that is going to be left to the boards and to the voters, is whether to continue what we have now, which is a two-term limit where people can only run twice. And everyone's going to be given the option to vote for either a two-term limit, a one-term limit, or no term limits. That's in a nutshell. I mean, there's a lot of specific details, which I don't have in front of me now, and the language should be available, I'm hoping. There's a working group on the Elections Committee that's been really spending a lot of time hashing over every word of this. It was approved by the Elections Committee on Sunday for recommendation to the board, and now we're going to try to get six PNB members to sponsor it, and then it'll be brought before the PNB teleconference next Thursday, June 28th, for a vote on not for a vote on the substance, but as the bylaws prescribe, on a vote to simply set a notice date 60 days after which then the board will actually vote on it. And then the LSB, or I should say the delegate assemblies, will also vote on it. So that's in a nutshell, and I'm sure that's confusing and people may have questions.
I have a question. This is Wendy.
Go ahead, Wendy.
I love this plan as I read it, the way I read it. So my question is it still in the proposal that people would just serve one of these terms and then they would take a couple years off? They couldn't run again until after they'd sat out for 2 years?
The proposal will present three options to PNB, the delegate assemblies, and ultimately, assuming it passes, then to the membership at large. And that is to do what Wendy just said, which would be, you know, that a limit of... Actually, did you just say one or two terms?
I thought it was one. You just serve for 4 years, and then you're off. You can't run again until the next election after you sit one out.
Yeah, the Elections Committee did not take a position on which option it favored. It simply said, let's give the boards and ultimately the voters the choice of three options: one term limit, two term limits, or no term limits.
Wow. Wow.
Marfolo's question?
Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, in that case, I mean, this sounds kind of unwieldy to just put this nebulous thing of, oh, here's a very, very important issue, and we'll just leave the options out there for people to somehow pick up. I mean, what is the mechanism for that? Is the PNB going to pick one, or... I mean, because I don't see how to have the PNB and then the LSBs and then the membership at large pick one, because, I mean, how would that work?
Well, my understanding, I mean, you know, the PNB and the delegate assemblies can do what they want. So they may go along with this three-option concept, or they may say, no, we're going to strike one of the options and not, you know, not give the possibility to the membership to vote on it. I personally support the idea of the three options because I think it's a pretty important issue about the future of governance, and it really should be left to the membership. And if you just give them one option, there may be people who would favor, you know, another option that they wouldn't have a way to express it if it was just a yes or no on whichever one the boards decide was the one to present to them. So I think it's a sensible approach, and you can do it as an IRV election when it gets to the voters as to which of these three do you want. You can only, well, you could rank order them, but, you know, ultimately they're mutually exclusive. So one would win, whichever got a majority by the IRV process would win and would be incorporated in the bylaws.
Okay, I'm still... So it's possible that the final... in other words, the PNB may say, here's three options, pick one, and then the LSBs as delegates would vote and vote the same way, vote for that, and then it would go out to the general populace to be the actual picker of one of those?
Correct.
I can see where this could cause rather a bit of confusion in the electorate, but all right. Thank you.
I think, sir?
Go ahead, Ben.
Can I just ask one more question on that? So, I mean, I'm kind of with R. Paul, but my question to Bob is, so I guess this passed the committee to be recommended to the PNB that that there be these three options, and was it unanimous on the elections committee that there would be three options presented, or was there some kind of, can you tell us what the vote tally was?
I believe that part of it not only was unanimous, I don't even remember anyone arguing that there was a problem with it. I mean, we didn't vote on each specific subpart separately. We voted on kind of the major pieces of it separately, and most of those votes were unanimous. I'll tell you the one that there was some controversy on, and I believe that may be brought to the PNB for a different option, and that is that this election, the current National Election Supervisor, Casey Peters, has echoed the sentiments of a couple of previous supervisors that the extension period is too short. In other words, if a station falls short of meeting the quorum to have a valid election, the current bylaws only allow a maximum of 2 weeks extension. And these supervisors have said that there really needs to be more flexibility. So the working group had come up with a draft that simply said the supervisor could just extend at his or her discretion. And the committee felt that was a little too open-ended, and it should be limited so that it just doesn't go on and on and on and on for months. So there was a proposal for 4 weeks. In other words, that the supervisor could grant an extension of any length up to a maximum of 4 weeks after the normal close date of the election. And then there was a counter proposal for 6 weeks, and 4 weeks won, but it was a somewhat close vote. So probably the PNB, you know, we'll have to see which proposal gets six votes to, you know, six sponsors by the PNB. But other than that, I don't recall any serious disagreements about any other piece of the package.
Does anybody else have anything? Because I have another question.
Anybody else has any questions? Go ahead, Wendy.
Has this proposal about the elections timeline thing been sent to this governance committee?
No. That's why I'm speaking tonight.
I think it would be a good idea if you could forward that to us.
Hang on, Wendy, because I'm getting another call and I missed some of what you said. Did you ask if it had been sent by email?
Yes.
Oh, okay, no. And the reason is that it's not totally fine. The exact wording is going to be worked out in the next, hopefully, 3 or 4 days. So as soon as that's ready, it'll absolutely be sent to the governance work.
Are you guys having another meeting?
No, but it was just left that Dan Siegel should go over it with the working group in case there were any problems that they didn't anticipate.
And they don't have to go back to the committee to...
No.
All right.
Anyway. I'm sorry. I have to get off for 1 second. I'll be right back.
Okay, well, the question I was going to ask Bob...
I'm back.
Okay. The other question was the timeline, you know, when is the election? Was in there? Did I just miss that?
No, I apologize. I'm a little sidetracked tonight. Yes, I forgot to say the new schedule. And by the way, Casey Peters was part of several, if not all, of the conference calls to develop this, and he supports it. The timeline, well, actually, let me pull it up on the screen. I don't want to leave
the reason I'm asking, well, I'll just say this while you do that, is that, you know, that could have a bearing on whether you're able to extend for 4 weeks or not, depending on when it is. I mean, we don't want to change the date the people are seated, I don't think.
Right. No, that's intact. They will still be seated in December. Just give me one second. Okay. Nominations will open June 1st and remain open for 30 days as opposed to the 60 currently. And all sides thought that was sensible because the 60 days really have not been used by hardly any candidates. But anyway, so then it closes on July 1st. Ballots are mailed on August 15th. And then the close date is September 30th. And then from there, you know, there's you would have time. The proposal for 6 weeks would be viable because that would put it in mid-November, which still gives the necessary two-week period to actually count and certify the ballot before a potential seating of the LSBs on December 1st. I mean, not that they have to be seated on the first day of the month, but to give that flexibility that they could have the whole month to schedule their first meeting.
Okay. Thanks, Bob.
Sure.
I have a question, kind of a general nature.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is not the only PNB amendments that are going to happen. Is there any way that we can coordinate it with the other committees so that whenever there's a bylaws amendments, that we can bring it to our governance committee in a coordinated manner so that... we got a chance to analyze it fully. Do you have some ideas about that?
Well, I think you're right that would be a better way to do it. As everything seems to happen in Pacifica, you know, it was done kind of as with the tyranny of the clock. Our attorney, Dan, told us that we would really have to wrap this up by July 3rd in order to have the votes happen in September by the delegate assemblies, by the PNB and the delegate assemblies, so that it can go on the ballot in October. So, you know, there just wasn't really time. But there is a short window now between now and next Thursday, the 28th, when the PNB meets, for people who have a really, really serious concern about some of the language or some of the provision to prevail on some of the six. I mean, like I said, we don't even actually have six PNB members who are committed to sponsor this, which is what it takes. Actually, a committee, under our bylaws, a committee does not have the right to sponsor an election, an amendment. It must be six PNB members. So if somebody really could convince six of us that the current wording is seriously flawed, then maybe we would offer a slightly different proposal next Thursday night. So that's why I promise you, I will, at the moment I get this language, I will send it on and we'll welcome, you know, you could send to me or post on the governance committee listserv any feedback you have and we could consider changes.
Well, I wonder, could you send us what you have now so we could at least wrap our heads around that?
Okay.
Because we really want to get consensus with everybody if we're going to get this thing through.
That's fine. I'll put a little caveat that this was not the final language.
Sure, that'd be great.
I'm sorry, I forgot one provision. Now that I'm looking at it on screen, if I may, there was a feeling. Actually, the initial proposal that Casey made was that the calendar not be mentioned at all in the bylaws, except for the keeping the December seating, in order to give more flexibility to future boards in case of who knows what, right? From another Katrina to, you know, some decision that pledge drives are... I forgot to say, conflicts with pledge drives were another problem with the current calendar that we have. So This is also carefully designed to avoid hitting the voters with, you know, a time that they need to hear on-air debates and so on at the same time that there's a that there are on-air pledge drives. But anyway, that could change in the future. Nothing is set in stone. And so he suggested flexibility, and the committee agreed with the concept of flexibility, but not with the with the method of absolute free discretion. And so, I'm a little distracted here. Not that the supervisor has the discretion, but that the PNB have the discretion. So the compromise was that that if by the end of the by November 30th of the year before elections are scheduled, the PNB determines by a two-thirds vote that the schedule above cannot be executed due to exigent circumstances, they may adopt a schedule subject to the constraints, which are basically the amount of days that must happen between this event and that event. You know, like a 30-day nomination period, 35 days after the mailing of the ballots, before the ballots must be received, et cetera, et cetera. So that's like an escape hatch in case of some sort of emergency or change.
I hate to be, this is Grace Aaron. Can I
go
say
ahead,
something?
Grace. Go ahead. Oh,
yes. I know that it's a real pain to have to do these elections, but in terms of being on a board, a local station board, I think that in practicality, a four-year term is too long, and it can entrench a bad board and at a station, or you know, half the board can be entrenched for a considerable length of time. On our board, in my opinion, which is just my opinion, we're running into severe burnout. Of people who've been on the board for a long time, coupled with people who are completely new. I think the ideal length of time for a person to be on a board is 2 years before they have a choice of whether to remain on or to or not. I don't know. 4 years is a long time, a long commitment. And the election doesn't go well at a station. The KPFK election was very problematical this last round. If we had, I personally recruited four nominees for the election. And if it weren't for those four people, we would have only had one more person than there were a number of seats open running in the listener election. So in the case of a kind of a situation, you can actually, if there aren't enough carts run, you can run into a situation where I'm not saying anything's wrong with our board, but a board that's really not qualified and is not really a good board can be elected because of flaws in the election process, and then the station is stuck with that board for 4 years.
This is Wendy.
Go ahead, Wendy.
Actually, Grace, they would only be stuck with half that board for 4 years. There would be another election in 2 years where half the board would change out. And also, keep in mind that people would be resigning during that time. At least they do in Houston. And one thing that's kind of better about this is everybody's on the same footing. The runners-up are just waiting in line for those 2 years, not some of them for 1 year and some of them for 2 years. You know, it's just all really neater is what I think is great about this thing. But I am going to be, I would be asking people to vote against having 8-year terms or unlimited numbers of terms.
Uh-huh.
You know, 4 years, and then you sit out for two makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
So it remains to be seen here what we receive here and how we proceed.
This is Bob.
Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, just one other comment. response to Grace. I appreciate that dilemma, and there will certainly be good people who, you know, might be a little scared off by the notion of a four-year commitment, but we're dealing, in my opinion, with a trade-off of some kind of difficult options all around. It's like, you know, yes, we may lose people from that, but on the other hand, we just can't, I don't think, and I think most of us believe, we just cannot afford financially or in terms of the tremendous energy drain, this constant elections. It's really debilitating, and I think the financial picture is only going to get worse. We really have to do something about that. So it's a trade-off, really. It's not perfect.
Okay, well, this is a democracy, so I just, you know, I bow to the consensus of the majority.
Phoebe here from KPFA. I agree.
Yes, go ahead.
I agree that the elections are too expensive. We need to have slightly less frequent elections for that reason, and then also that the elections should not conflict with fundraising, not during pledge times, and also not at the same time as national and regional government elections.
Anyone else? Well, one thing I want to share is I think the timeline where Casey Peters wanted complete discretion as to the timing of things. Well, you know, my thinking is that every year, whenever we hold elections, we have usually a new election supervisor, national election supervisor, and we don't know who it's going to be. If there's no guidance at all as to the time, even no matter how rudimentary, some kind of guidance, then it could really create a lot of problems. So I think it's in the good wisdom of the committee. They didn't go for that. I think that's a plus thing. That was a good thing they did. So I really recommend that.
Well,
can
I clarify, because I think I may have misspoken. Casey never proposed that the election supervisor have the sole discretion. He proposed that the PNB have the discretion, but if, because of notorious gridlock that sometimes affects the PNB, they don't act by a certain deadline, that then the election supervisor would have the discretion. But in any case, as I already said, that was rejected, and instead you have this arrangement where it will continue to be specified in the bylaws, but with an escape hatch for extraordinary circumstances, only by a two-thirds vote of the PNB.
Okay. Anyone else want to speak on that?
Yeah, Arpal.
Go ahead, Arpal.
Yeah, I'm a little concerned about the thing here of where the, if the PNB agrees, they can change the schedule and all of that. We've seen in the past some PNBs using discretion, getting a little wild, and I think that something as important as the elections should really be, as much as possible, you know, written in stone and made extremely difficult to change. I think giving the PNB the option to change the elections could probably cause a lot of confusion, because from one election cycle to the next, I could see the PNB playing with that, and I think it could be very confusing and problematical.
This is Bob.
Go ahead, Bob.
Well, that's why this, you'll see when I'm going to post this in a few minutes, you'll see that the language was very carefully drafted to limit the discretion of the PNB, to require that, you know, that all of the kind of intervals within the process must be pretty much the same. And that really all they're saying is it could start a little later or end a little later, but it still has to allow everyone to be seated in December. And I think there's enough safeguards to, you know, to avoid abuse. But if we've learned anything since the bylaws were adopted, is that one really serious problem is that by having so much detail spelled out in a rigid way in the bylaws, it just does not allow for any kind of flexibility when crises happen, you know, such as hurricanes or whatever. And so the more we can at least allow a little bit. I mean, that's why the two-thirds vote is in there, that, you know, if somebody was trying to play games, they would have to convince two-thirds of the national board to go along with it. So, and in any case, it can't shorten or lengthen anyone's term. It just changes the schedule during which the election is held, and then the start date or the end date of the term is identical.
Bob, that 4-year term would be for both staff representatives as well as listener representatives?
Right.
For everyone?
Everyone.
Well, the staff members for 4 years, one committee, that might be a little hard, but that's all right.
I have one more question.
Go ahead, Wendy.
Bob, did you guys talk at all about the possibility of this 4-year term thing allowing that PNB terms could be 2 years? Did that come up at all?
I wasn't personally in the working group, so I don't know if it came up in the working group. It may have, but they didn't present that to the committee.
Okay. I mean, I think it would be short-sighted to send this to the listenership without at least talking about that, so I guess I'll pursue that at the national board level. I mean, just to, you know, to the LSV members on the call, the whole thing is that the 1-year term for PNB members is really not long enough to get any work done, in my opinion. You spend the first 3 months just with housekeeping issues while everybody elects their LSV members to the committees, and really it's kind of over before you get to do it, learn to work together and get anything done. So anyway, that's neither here nor there, I guess, for this committee at this time, since we don't have enough time to really discuss it and present anything. But I think it's holding Pacifica down. It's not that I want to sign on for 2 years on the PNB, because it's really kind of a problem, I think.
Anybody else? Well, thank you, Bob. Thank you for your report. And we'll look forward to your document that you will forward us. And then the final language when the elections committee crafts that, then you can send us that one. Okay, the next one then. Yes, go ahead.
1 second. Has anybody else joined the committee here on the call since we took our roll call before? Because one person has said he's emailed the list and said he's having a hard time getting on, and I guess he didn't, because nobody's saying anybody else new came on, so never mind.
He did come on. Stan Woods did come on for a while, but then he didn't call back when we changed numbers.
Well, that was that's what I'm looking for, is he here for the actual meeting part. But, okay.
Is there anyone who can call or who's a 10th number can give him a call?
Yeah, we've two of us have given him the details on the mailing list. So he asked on the mailing list what was going on. All right.
Well, okay. Well, he's not here, so we just have to keep on going. The next, our working group was a code of conduct working group, and I know Deb was going to send us something. Deb, could you locate that Houston code of conduct? Could we get a copy of that?
Bob has the actual paperwork on that. He and I were both on the committee, but he kept the records of it.
Oh.
No, Deb, I think Sarv is asking about your code of conduct that's in effect in Houston. I
sent that out. I sent that out.
The committee was
waiting for. But several minutes ago that happened, and I started to make a report, and then I realized that you had a lot of the records of that. You have the documents. And you had the all I remember was that through the existing conduct and somebody else's, and approved a lot of things, and I don't have a record of it. I think.
Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
We're here.
What happened?
Is Deb still there?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you now. What happened to the rest of them?
Maybe they're
everybody
all
here.
I'm here. Phoebe's here. Basha's here.
Everybody's here. It just got, you know, we have no noise on the line, which is awesome.
Okay, Deb, go ahead. You were saying something.
Well, what I was saying was that we went through this agreement and several things that were on and off, and I keep track of them. Bob did. So I thought he would be a much more appropriate person to give the report. There's a request that I send in the Houston Code of Conduct report, and I sent that out via email that same week. I was having trouble getting it, but I did send it.
Oh, I didn't get a copy of it. Bob, did
nobody
you get
got a copy? But I sent it to fact.gov.
No, I didn't get a copy either.
Wow, well, I'll send it again.
Okay.
I did. I took the whole thing off and sent it.
Wow. Okay, well, we'd appreciate
it. I'm sorry you didn't get it. I'll do that again, but that can't have much to do with our work.
Question?
Be worked on, not voted on.
Question?
Go ahead.
Deb, are you sure you're using the right email address? Yours. If you send it from... I know you were going to change your email address at some point.
I did.
Okay. On the mail list, the old one is still there.
Oh, well, that's why I didn't get on then.
Okay.
Who has the ability to change that?
Only you.
How do I do that?
Yahoo does not allow the moderator to change your email address. At least it didn't last time I looked. And so you have to go in and change your email address. Or what we can do is I can rapidly send you what I'll do is I'll send you an email and invite you in at the other email address, and you'll join, and I'll eliminate the email address that isn't working. Okay?
Okay, great.
Okay, I'll do that now.
For what it's worth, folks, I just found the KPFT Code of Conduct, if we're talking about the same one, from 2002, and I just sent it to the committee.
No.
Wendy, is that the one that's working now, is in effect?
I thought it was.
It's the one that... where'd you get it? Internet website?
I just Googled KPFT Code of Conduct.
Well,
everyone will get it but you, Deb. What is your email?
DebShafto@gmail.com.
Okay, I'll send it to you, too.
Yeah, the reason for that, Wendy, is that Deb said that code of conduct was working well in Houston. We thought, well, we better take a look at that.
Well, I don't know that it's working well, but...
And borrow some good things out of it.
There's probably some good things in it, yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway... So thank you very much, Deb. Grace, go ahead, and you want to add some. Grace is the...
No, I think it was Bob who kept track of the progress we made. Are you on, Bob?
Yeah, I'm here, and I'm sorry I don't have those notes typed up at the moment, but you know, I'll certainly have them for the next call of the working group. And yeah,
do you remember enough that you can summarize it?
As I said, I'm kind of distracted tonight. I apologize.
Okay.
Well,
it wasn't the kind of thing that you can just remember. We were over somebody's conduct. I don't know who it was. Do you remember that?
You're breaking up, Deb.
I think it was the statement at the beginning where we were saying that... we changed the wording of, yes, a past, but it was like the preamble to the Code of Conduct, saying that we understand that we can't force people, you know, we can't, this is not all this can be enforced, but the intention is that we basically respect each other and so on and so forth, or respect each other's rights, and... I think we worked on the wording, and we were all pretty happy with it. Wasn't it sort of a preamble?
Yes.
And we hadn't really gotten into the code itself, but we were happy with the statement at the beginning, which I believe we pretty much completed.
Well, let me tell you what my thinking was at the in-person meeting in Los Angeles. That we'll have few of these things that we can present to the board, and they can look at it and get their blessings. And for that reason, I think we have to speed it up just a little bit. The code of conduct, confidentiality agreement, and, you know, a few things like that. And I also, we passed some other motions, too. And, Arpa, would you be kind enough to, when we get them together, if you could make a list of those, the one we passed, the motions, and maybe send it to all of us?
The amendment.
Motions that we passed.
Okay, we have one pending amendment only, that, you know, bylaws amendment, that the committee has passed. So I could send it again. I sent it last week.
When exactly? What are the dates of the July PNB meeting?
27th to 29th in Los Angeles. That's in-person meeting.
Okay.
And, you know, then whoever gives the governance committee report there, at that time they can tell the board that these are the motions that the governance committee passed, and let them take one look at it and see if they agree with it. And if they agree with that, those, and then they can pass it, and then that becomes, we incorporate that into our paperwork for the whole organization.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, so that was my idea behind this.
Well, could we possibly have another meeting of the Code of Conduct Working Group a week from Monday? Would that be possible for those of us here on this call?
Week from Monday. What date is that?
I don't know. Does anyone have I don't have a calendar handy.
July 2nd?
Yeah.
That's a really bad time for me.
Uh-huh.
Well, I was just going to ask. I might have missed something. What's the urgency that it happened before the PNB meeting?
I think we're probably going to have to meet at least twice.
But do you think the PNB is going to be voting on a code of conduct at their July meeting?
Well, we can present. You know, when we have, there are a bunch of committees that are going to come up with their own recommendations or some things. So our governance committee can come up.
I don't mean to discount anything. The only reason I say it like that is that this is like the age-old problem of Pacifica. You know, is how do people act, and so it's.
No, I understand, but I think
of course important, but.
I think it is. You know, the committee has to. If we think it's important, then we'll have to present to the board and come to some kind of agreement with that. I think that's a bad idea.
What about this coming Monday? What is that, the 25th?
25th, I have another meeting.
Okay.
A meeting.
All right, how about the 9th of July?
9th of July. Okay, yeah, I can do that.
Okay.
Yeah, July 9th.
What about the rest of you? Bob and Deb?
Yeah, I can do the 9th.
Is that okay?
Yep.
All right, so we'll make it the 9th at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Can we use this new number?
I don't know. We'll talk to Odie. But we'll find the number.
Okay.
I can find the number and then send it over.
Sorry, okay. Wait, guys. Yeah. I couldn't get to my book. I can't do it on the 9th.
You can't do a night, Deb?
No. It's Fajra.
You're breaking up, Deb.
It's Fajra. I can't do it on the 9th.
Were you on the Code of Conduct Working Group?
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Sorry, I was distracted.
Okay. All right, so we'll set that for the 9th, and we'll try to make as much progress as we can.
Grace, can we meet at 8:30? Is it possible?
Sure. Is that okay with everyone?
Yeah.
Okay.
To do what?
8:30 instead of 8.
8:30, yes, fine.
Eastern, okay. Good.
All right.
I pulled up the rest of that code of conduct, and I have sent the book to Arpal, and as soon as I get back, I'll send out the code of conduct.
Great.
You're very, very kind. Okay, if we don't have other things in the code of conduct, well, the bylaws working group, that's Arpa Martin, leads that group. Go ahead, Arpa.
Okay. Hold on one second. All right. What this work group needs to do is figure out when it's going to meet. But we have been unable to establish when we're going to do this. And so I was thinking that what we should do is figure it out now, because the maximum number of people is here, and people can respond right now. So I would say, okay, our next governance committee meeting is July 19th. So maybe try to meet the week of the 8th, the 8th through 14th. Does that sound feasible?
Who is on that committee, working group?
This is the bylaws group. I'm on it, CB.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is, let me get down to that. Okay, the bylaws working group. I have the names in here.
When's the next meeting of this committee?
July 19th.
July 19th.
Okay, and I'm missing. Okay. Trying to get to. Okay, I have. It's. Me, Joseph K., Thomas Ruffin, Phoebe Ann Sorgan, and I think that's it, because one person had, Vajra Kilgour. So those are the five of us, yeah, those are the five. One other person had said she wanted to be on it, but she then said she didn't have the time for it. So it's the five, it's... Vajra Kilgour, Joseph K., Thomas Ruffin, Phoebe Ann Sorgan, and R. Paul Martin. So, if we could figure it out at this meeting, we'll be able to have a meeting.
How many of those are on the call now?
Three. Sorgan, Martin, and Kilgour are on the call. K. and Ruffin are not.
This is Wendy, if I could make a suggestion.
Yep.
Being that this is a working group, if you could, you could meet with even two of you, although, of course, you should try to get a lot more in there to help, with better consensus and stuff, but you guys can still meet. But really, people need to take it seriously or probably,
Well, we've been... soliciting over the mailing list for the past number of weeks, and we haven't been successful that way. So that's why I was thinking maybe do it now. And I don't know. Let me ask, because, there are three of us on here, and I'm looking at a calendar, and I'm looking at July 8th through 14th. Actually, let's call it 9th through 13th. And I'm asking, could people who are on the call make it sometime in that particular week, July 9, 10, 11, 12, or 13.
Vajra and Phoebe?
How about July 12?
Thursday, July 12. I can do Thursday, July 12. Can Vajra Kilgour make?
I guess, yeah.
Not
same
happy
time.
About it.
Huh? 8:30 Eastern Standard Time?
Sure. At 8:30. Okay. All right.
Okay.
I think then we have a meeting set. We'll meet. The Bylaws Working Group can meet on Thursday, July 12th at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, and I'll send it up to the list tonight.
And have you considered calling, Thomas? And Joseph, I think, will respond to email. But I don't know. I think you're having trouble with Thomas and email?
Actually, Thomas Ruffin has, in fact, joined. In fact, everybody is now on the mailing list.
Oh, yay.
Yeah. So everybody's finally on here. And I should point out, let me make a non-bylaws working group suggestion here. We need to each give the chair our telephone numbers because in case somebody misses three in a row, after they miss two in a row, the chair is supposed to call them up and warn them that they're about to lose membership. So we should all give Sarv our telephone numbers so he can have them and call us up. Anyway, all right, so yes, so that concludes the Bylaws Working Group report. We're going to have a meeting.
thank you, and hopefully you'll get the by that time that elections bylaws amendments there too. You guys can really take a look at it, you know, in thorough and see what's that about. Okay. Next says, let's see, we are supposed to, unless we have anything urgent here, we have decided at the start that we'll adjourn at 9 o'clock, 7 o'clock Pacific time. And so unless we have other things, we'll just leave it for tonight. And I mean, then we can, next meeting, we cover the rest of the things, unless somebody has urgent things that they'd like to talk about for the next few minutes.
Well, it just seems to me like we didn't get that much done because it took so long to get everybody on board without the echo.
Right.
To reach quorum.
Sure.
So I'd be willing to go longer if other people want to and if there's stuff that needs our attention.
Right. That's what I was saying. If there's something urgent and people think we need to really talk about it, we can talk about it for another 10, 15 minutes or so on. But, you know, and then if not, then we can adjourn and we can meet next time. Whatever body decides, whatever you guys decide. I'm here to stay with you, however long you want to stay.
Does anybody have an issue they need to bring up? What would it be? Because nobody has one.
Well, then we can make it, somebody can make a motion, and we can adjourn for the night, and everybody can take a rest, and we can get ready for a lot of other stuff that we got
to
do.
I move to adjourn.
Second.
Any objections to adjournment? If not, the meeting is adjourned, and we'll meet on July 19th. Thank you very much, and have a good evening.
Okay, good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.